Before we talk about health care, because obviously a lot of people want to know about that, I know that today is a pretty big day for you because you're going to be meeting with David Petraeus, and then also he's going to testify.
Well, while the focus in Congress this week and the press and the public is on health care, and I understand that, we still have incredible Americans risking their lives in Afghanistan, the very place where the plotters of the 9/11 terrorist attacks against our country really organized their efforts. And David Petraeus is the Army general who's the commander of the Central Command, so he has overseen both the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. And the Military Construction Subcommittee I fund, that I chair, actually funds about $1.7 billion this year for construction for General Petraeus and our troops in Afghanistan. So we'll be having testimony with him on where we are in Afghanistan. And listen, Scott, if the listeners ever have any good questions they would like to have us ask some of these people testifying before my Military Construction Veterans Subcommittee, I would I'd be happy to pass those along.
Excellent. And, you know, while we're talking about contact, I know that there has been some discussion about making sure that people are in touch with their elected officials. Let's talk about that now a little bit, ways that they can be in touch with you to express their opinions or get some interaction with you.
Well, there are a lot of ways. First of all, I spend an awful lot of time in the district. I plan on being in the district this weekend, but we might be in Washington voting on the health care bill. People can call us at our College Station office. They can email us. Emailing these days is a good way to reach us quickly, and that's house.gov/Edwards. People can write letters, and I think this health care reform effort has been a great example of grassroots democracy at work. We've heard from nearly 30,000 people in our district now, and I think that's healthy for our democracy. With the strong feelings on this bill, it's good to see people expressing their views and being heard. And that does make a difference in the political process.
And you have, and you fleshed it out even more for us last week. 2 weeks ago, you said you were going to vote against this. It comes up this week. I did have a question from a listener who said, it is one thing to say that you vote against the health care legislation. What, if anything, are you doing to help keep others from voting for this or it passing? Are you actively campaigning against it? Are you trying to persuade undecided members of your party to vote against it?
Absolutely, Scott. Once I've made up my decision, and I voted no on the House health care reform bill last November, I've been having conversations behind the scenes, which is where you really get things done in Congress and the political process. I've been expressing my views that this bill is an overreach. I think we need some limited health care reform to try to hold down cost and to help people with pre-existing conditions and small businesses and the self-employed that are having to pay exorbitant rates for health insurance these days. But I just think this was an overreach, and I've shared those views with my colleagues, and I will continue to share them. And let me be clear on where I stand. I voted no on the House bill in November. In budget committee on Monday, I actually tried to stop the reconciliation process before it again, I was a no vote in committee. I will be a no vote on the floor on that. I'll be a no vote on the Senate bill, and I will be a no vote on any deeming rule that says the bill is passed without having a direct up or down vote on it.
People have heard this. They've heard it called deeming, a self-execution rule. Now, in this instance, that self-executing rule would say that the Senate's version of the legislation deemed approved if the House members adopted a set of changes in that bill. So, in other words, what could happen is it could be voted down, but then this self-executing rule could be voted on, and then, in essence, it would be accepted by the House. Is that pretty much correct?
Yes, it is. It basically says by adopting the rule of the House, you've adopted the final health care bill. And I'm not going to support that process. I will vote no on it. But let me be clear, too. At the end of the day, Americans will know which members of Congress voted yes for health care reform or for this particular health care reform bill and which members voted no. There will be no fig leaf. No, there's no sleight of hand in the rules process that will be a fig leaf for anyone. And I tend to make it very clear where I stand in opposition to this bill. I'm not in opposition to health care reform. I think we need to deal with increasing cost and those that have pre-existing conditions and the other issues I mentioned. But I just think this was an overreach, and at a time of huge national deficits, I think this has a real potential of adding to those deficits. And I'm real disappointed those who were supporting the bill wouldn't accept my common sense proposal to put a trigger mechanism in there to reduce the cost of this bill if the actual costs turn out to be far more than they were expected.
Chad Edwards joining us from D.C. Give us a little bit of background. And again, this is a high-profile piece of legislation, but the lobbying goes on all the time, and there's a person who's the House whip. It's James Clyburn, right now in the Democrat Party. Basically, has he had some contact with you in the last few weeks? You have said that you were going to vote no. What kind of moves have they made to try to get you to change your vote?
I think they have pretty well understood where I've been on this bill since last year when I voted no on the House bill. I have not talked to Jim Clyburn. I have not talked to Speaker Pelosi about this. I did get a call several days ago from President Obama, and he asked me if I could support the bill, and I said, no, I cannot. And I said, I believe my no vote reflects the values of my district and the concerns that I have about the overreach in this bill. And he was very respectful about that. He did not threaten me in any way. And bottom line is, I think the whip operations in the Congress, you know, find out over time which members they can browbeat and which ones they can. And I've frankly always been independent-minded. I wouldn't be in Congress today if I had not been independent-minded. I would have been defeated in many elections prior to this had I not been independent-minded and been willing to cross party lines. But, you know, some members, they will try to browbeat and threaten. And on these kind of issues, I'm not going to be bought off by a bridge or a, you know, a project or a promise. And nobody made any such promises to me on something like this. But there is an awful lot of heavy lobbying on both sides on this bill right now.
Preface this by saying that both parties have used the self-executing rule dozens of times. It happens a lot out there. But, and I'm going to ask you to kind of answer for a body of 435, of which you are one member, and that is the presumed arrogance that these elected officials, you elected officials, take when, in fact, in this case, we've had a pretty good public outcry that this is not a piece of legislation they want. You vote against it, and yet then there could be some sort of, as you said, your word, sleight of hand that causes this to be enacted. How does a congressional body justify that kind of action?
Well, I don't justify this self-executing rule. Again, as you said, both parties have used it, but I think we need to emphasize at the end of the day, I think what they're trying to do on this self-executing rule is to prevent House members from having to vote for the Senate bill and then for an amendment to the Senate bill. They want a final vote up or down. And if anyone thinks for one second that any kind of a rule process is going to hide whether somebody was a yes or no on this health care reform bill, then they are smoking something that's not legal. This is going to be a very clear up or down vote at the end of the day, and it should be something this important. There are people who are not happy with me in our district because I'm going to vote no on the bill, but I'm comfortable with my position. I believe it's the right thing to do to vote no, and I believe it reflects the values of our district. And people will know whether they like my vote or don't like my vote. They will know where I stand and where I vote on health care reform.
Well, and likewise, as an electorate, I don't care where you stand. The fact that you pay attention is the most important thing. I think if we have an electorate who's informed and they pay attention, then better things can happen.
Well, I really agree with that. I think despite all the problems, and there are many, we all know, and I face these frustrations of the partisanship in Washington daily, but I think one of the brilliant things, Scott, about our founding fathers, they understood the frailties of mankind, and so they built a system of great checks and balances. And I think the Internet, I think people's direct involvement by writing letters, by making phone calls, coming out to town hall meetings, I think that makes our democracy better. And that takes democracy out of the hands of the narrow, wealthy, or powerful special interest, right or left, and puts power back in the hands of grassroots Americans, and that's where it should be.
Congressman Chad Edwards joins us most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview. It'll be archived at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Scott, thank you now.